You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL podcast is wickedly talented, one and only.
The Chris Wessling podcast studio. It's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hanses. And yes, I am joined by some wickedly talented people. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, and yes, Colleen Wolf back in the building.
Yo, what's up?
And that's, if you don't know the reference, that's a tell on you not listening to every single episode that we produce.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't get the explanation because you were not loyal to the brand.
It's on you.
Always a good, different vibe here when Colleen's here. Just
worse, right?
Lighter. No.
Oh.
Heavier. Yes. Darker.
Yes.
More mathematical.
All right. Turn this up in my headphones.
I need to make this my ringtone.
It reminds me of driving in high school and my buddy Jim Drevis's big white, I think it was like a Ford Explorer, and he had the giant subwoofers. And the bass was kicking so hard.
It's just subs.
And those subs. Thank you. It was kicking so hard that you just couldn't even hear the song. And like I was young at the time, so it wasn't like, these kids, I'm out of touch.
Yeah.
It was like, how come I can't hear, all I hear is but that was like the whole goal of the subs world, which Colleen, I know you know very well.
I had subs in my Trans Am.
Was the goal not to hear the song, but only the bass exploding?
The goal was for everyone else to hear you before you got there.
I think you need to roll into NFL Network's, you know, immense parking garage, which doubles a SoFi. If you're, rich, you can go park and go to SoFi too. But like, just roll in with that song blasting, or maybe blasted in.
Right.
We talked about,
and then it was like,
state, like blasted.
Smash cut to me driving my '96 Ford Escort, and I'm like turning down the bass on the Counting Crows. I'm like, a little too heavy for me.
Got office spaced.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Everyone that worked in the car stereo industry. Like, it was thriving in the '90s. It's just not as
tough stitch.
Right. You take the front off of the.
Oh yeah.
Whatever
because
system
the whole,
you had.
It caused a whole issue with that. I didn't want to pay my brother for
club
the stereo
on.
System that he had installed in my grandfather's car that he was giving to me. I was like, I'm not paying for that.
I would say the only thing
it was like Greg's tough luck story from childhood.
Hard scrabble. For me, the big expense was the CD player with anti-skip technology with the jack that had the tape cassette wire connected to it, and you would slide it in, and then you could play your CDs. That was the height of my tech in my car.
Wow.
You had that, right?
Well, I had a car that was I think it was a Volvo, and it was like Battleship Gray. It was really old. It was a hand-me-down, and the windshield wiper stopped working, so my dad installed a light switch like that you would see on a wall. He installed one on the dashboard. So whenever I had to use my windshield wipers, I would have to turn the switch on, and sometimes the horn would honk.
Oh, no.
Just inexplicably why.
A little
like,
cross-wiring.
I don't know. Yeah, by the old man. It worked.
The worst thing, this all makes sense. Yeah. But the worst thing that ever happened to me, I had a used Honda Prelude as my first car. And at one point, you know, it's like just a felt fabric type seat. The seat, which you could adjust, obviously, like any car seat, just lost its maneuvering and just fell flat back. So I'm driving around town with no seat. And you think, that's fine, except about 4 minutes into that, you're like, I really need a car seat to do anything functional.
Sure.
Like you're just supporting your entire body in like, and you're going 50, 60 miles an hour.
It's a good core workout.
Yeah.
All right. Today's show. Good stuff.
Dan's like, why did you tell that story?
No, I enjoyed it.
Okay, good.
I also enjoyed this new haircut of yours.
Gave me a certain look, so I thought maybe
looks good.
You could erase it from the edit.
I like the story and the haircut.
Let's talk today's show. We are going to preview... we got some interesting island games. We're going to hit them on the back end of the show. We're also going to check in with our early season predictions, preseason predictions, and then decide what we choose to stand on and what we are going to change. And that could be a difficult and humbling exercise. I'm looking forward to seeing that original NFL document, NFL.com document from, I believe, August 30th. And we're also going to have a meeting on the nominees for the team of Around the NFL, which incredibly a conversation that sprang back to life in a very interesting Sunday in the NFL. But first, I want to ask you guys, we are entering week 10. This is the halfway point of the season. Greg, what is the biggest single surprise to you of this season so far?
This was hard to think about. And I realized after going through it, and this is not a cop-out, the biggest surprise is how chalk everything is. There's no surprises. You like the NFL, I always say before the season, no matter like what scenario you could come up with, it will be more unpredictable than the most like surprising prediction. So you might as well go wild with your predictions before the season if you want. It won't be, but this season, like, it's chalk. There's basically every team that before the season was a consensus, like, contender, more or less, they're all contenders. The standings almost in every division, if you showed them before week one started, you would look at all of them and say, okay, that's about right. Like, and that's, to me, very surprising from the NFL. There's different ways we got there. There's maybe some little exceptions here or there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the NFL is playing two, according to some.
Which is either means the best is yet to come and it's going to be wild second half, or we're experiencing the most mundane season in the history of the sport.
Well, I would. It's just like parodies. Now, there is a lot of parody because everyone's got two losses.
I knew that'd get some pushback.
Except for Philadelphia. It's just like the good teams have stayed good. It's been a little
bit. I don't know. Like back in the. This doesn't even resonate with
you. You can talk about your car again?
I will. I have another story about my car. Like when I was driving that car actually around town in the, you know, 80s, 90s, like the NFL had the same.
You're driving in the
80s? Driving in the
80s? No, I was not. Like,
oh my God.
I was in that car in the 80s.
That was some developing news there.
No, in a car in the 80s.
But I would say
that's great.
Like, thank you. Like, it was the same eight or nine teams that were good year after year. So it's kind of like a throwback situation a little bit where it's like every, but I think it just suggests that, you know, we made these predictions ourselves before the season. We kind of nailed them all in terms of the standings and it looks good for us.
I mean, I definitely nailed it.
A biggest surprise?
I do. I think it's going to be a hard right turn from...
All right, well, then sit on that one. How about you, Colleen?
I am really surprised by all the defenses in the league and how they're kind of, like, showing up the offenses, and especially in Kansas City. The fact that the Chiefs are a defense-first team right now is not really something that I thought would happen, especially last year, because the offense sort of made up for the loss of Tyreek Hill, so I didn't think that that was going to be a story really again, but it sort of has been. And so like Steve Spagnuolo, he usually ends up heating up towards the end of the season and like just in time for the playoffs, that defense is really, really good and flying around, but right now they're doing it and the offense needs them to, so that's a surprise.
That's like their identity, and I'd say like a team like a year ago that Detroit was a disaster on defense for large parts of the season are the fifth ranked defense right now.
That's a league-wide trend. That you're right. That is the biggest surprise. That like defenses have fired back to the point where no one knows what to do with like MVP. We'll get to that because it's like no one has good numbers. Mm-hmm. The offensive numbers, we're just not used to it, are as bad as they've been in 15 years. And that, at some point, halfway through the season, you're like, I guess this might stick.
And there's so many quarterbacks that are hurt right now, too. So that factors into it.
They're like propping up offenses. But, their own offense.
Yeah, but like the quarterbacks that have been putting up huge numbers, like, that are still playing. Like, their numbers are all down too, Patrick Mahomes.
With that said, biggest surprise for me, I have struggles of the Chiefs offense with Mahomes being mortal at times this year. C.J. Stroud, superstar club potential. Got that there.
That would have been my number one pick if I was forced to pick something. with Stroud and the Texans.
I know the Giants were not expected to win the Super Bowl, but this season turning into a nightmare. The Cowboys are favored by 16 points this week.
Oh my God.
They are a nightmare. So that's a surprise. And then I guess the other big surprise for me is Mark's Black Jacket is on a Cal Ripken-like streak of games played. Like, that's been a big surprise to me this season.
What? Where?
Wow. Wait, didn't you have a name for it?
Gray.
Levi.
It's more grayish. More,
it's gray.
Battleship Gray, I think.
Battleship Gray.
Yeah.
Levi is really, he's the star of the show, right?
I think it's an apathy towards, you know, dressing in new things.
I like
it's like, you know,
kind of punk rock. I like
I think you should call your jacket Helga because that was the name of my Battleship Gray car. So Helga. Mm. Helga looks good.
Sit
I'll consider that.
That. Yeah. Sit with that, Mark.
Consider that, and I'm sure.
All right, what is your big surprise?
I think it is C.J. Stroud adjacent in the sense that I've always found, like, the draft community to be, I know they do a lot of work, but it's a lot of guessing, and it's a lot of nonsense, and it's a lot of, like, factors that we mull over and have to, like, judge a human being that a lot of us, like, if you just watch, you know, the pro game, we didn't know a lot about C.J. Stroud until, like, a month before. Now I watch all this tape and look at me, but it's like, you're not tracking this guy's entire career, okay? And that's like this S2 cognition test that dropped this information that he got an 18 on it, where guys like Bryce Young got a 98. So it's like, oh, obviously Bryce Young brings this other element. And I want to read you something. I went to their site because who do these guys think they are? he got buried in the pre-draft process. They say at S2 cognition, we see the game differently. Our revolutionary approach to understanding athletes' in-game instincts has redefined the it factor. We have taken decades of cognition science and applied it to the world of elite performance, making the undefinable qualities of top athletes quantifiable with the S2 system. No, you don't. For pro and college teams looking to build their roster, S2 offers insight into position and scheme-specific cognitive profiles. We partner with in-house analytics to help predict on-field performance and inform play decisions to take full advantage of your athlete's strengths. No, you won't. Our 30 to 45-minute digital evaluation measures your unique cognitive skills with unprecedented precision and accuracy. This in-depth report will help you understand how you process the game and stack up against your peers. No, it won't. Bryce Young scoring a 98 and Stroud earning an 18. I'll show you number 18. Seacrest out, baby. Like, I take this test. I'm never listening to anything about this test ever again. And a lot of the stuff, we just got to throw it out. I want to see him play on the field. C.J. Stroud, I think, bucked the entire concept of, like, prejudging some of these players. And he said, I'm not a good test taker. Which is, like, not an unfair thing to say. Like,
some
people just are not.
Now, in fairness, he went number 2 overall, and many, I would say, I wouldn't say the majority, but it was closer to 50-50 than most pre-draft process. Many people who covered the draft thought Stroud was the better prospect. So it's not like everyone is shocked C.J. Stroud is better than Bryce Young, but S2... go take a dirt nap. They're just a business trying to sell their business, and a lot of people got sold. Tough spot. Sessler just buried us doing a big spot.
I'd probably fail at that
I'm
test,
just
too.
What was the surprise?
The surprise to me is C.J. Stroud in general is a surprise. Okay. And I would say of all the rookies, he came in with this, like... He came in, like, with this soiled reputation that's like, well, he's probably a good athlete, but he's not mentally capable like the rest of these guys. Nonsense. The surprise is take your test and throw it in the ocean.
Well, that's a great
with an anchor
point,
attached
Mark.
To it.
I think it should also be said that I don't think anybody... I mean, he's picked number 2 overall.
Okay,
well, it's also like the Texans had to settle for him.
But as a person, why have this draped over you publicly? It's like, oh, it's meant to be secret information, of course.
Sure, it was like whatever the last thing was, the Wunderlich. It's all fugazi in the wind.
We're done with tests.
I'm done with tests. It's like a surprise. Check you later.
Actually, the Wunderlich was good, I thought. Here's a hot take. Because
they still take it.
The story around Wunderlich always used to be like, oh, his score was so bad. He got a 700. And you get 600 points for writing your name at the top. And it's like, oh, the guy that didn't write the name at the top, off my team. I'd take him right off the board. So there was something to the Wunderlich, I thought.
Okay, Wunderlich this. How about that?
Whoa. It is still around.
Why is it? Is it that relevant of a test? I don't know.
No. I don't know who you're really
Mark's
fighting against on
week.
This one.
No,
but.
I like this got me. This got me hyped up because it's like you're trying to tell us who this person is before we see them do what their actual job is.
Spicy Sessler today. Very nice. I love it.
Well done, Mark.
I don't know. You gave this assignment about an hour before the show, and I thought I dug deep into something that I feel.
I wouldn't call it an assignment, but
okay. Well, fair.
It did get you fired up, and anything that does that, I'm all for. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get into our predictions that we made. Back in August. Again, this was an assignment. Oh, what an assignment. Incredible assignment.
Sorry. This was an assignment.
This was an assignment. On August 30th, 2023, we're asked to pick MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookies of the Year, blah, 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 blah. And earlier this week, there was another assignment email that went out. I was like, hey, this is your chance for your midseason predictions. Always stand. I stand on my initial predictions. But on this show, why don't we kind of revisit where we were? Connie, you could just pop in and out of this convo whenever you want.
I see
you weren't in the original.
I was very busy.
I was still
ending the summer of Connie. And
I understand.
We weren't ready yet.
But you had been asked to take part.
Well, I think they send the email out.
You opted out.
And I view it sometimes as optional.
It was an opt-out. It's okay. this could be your chance to pipe in.
Okay.
So MVP, let's see. Me and Sestog both had Patrick Mahomes. Greggy, you had Justin Herbert. And it's funny.
That's not happening.
None of us are necessarily feeling great right now, but there really isn't a runaway leader either, as you were saying earlier, Greg. So would anybody want to change their pick right now?
I mean, I feel like there's like seven or eight quarterbacks you could make an argument for if it must be quarterback. Like, I more like predict this off of what I think the voters will do. And it's like, could it be someone like Tyreek Hill?
I think
if the
season ended today, I think AJ Brown and Tyreek Hill would be my top two picks. I don't necessarily think they would win the award, but that's like right now. But people are like, wow, there's no like great quarterbacks and there's no clear MVP. It's week nine. You've got like the MVPs almost never decided on the first half of the season. Anyways, it's basically like who has good numbers and who played well the last 6 weeks of the season.
Are we comfortable with Mahomes?
And we'll get there. But I would say right now, AJ Brown and Tyreek on pace for 2,000 yards. I would put them a little ahead of the top quarterbacks, which I did decide to make a list because now you vote top three for MVP, I believe, or is it top five? And I was thinking who would be on my list. And I gave Lamar the slight edge over the rest of the QBs, which would be Hurts playing better. Mm-hmm. Mahomes is still there for me. And then lower, it's like Josh Allen, I actually think, is playing well. Tua Stroud. Like those guys, if they have a huge stretch run, any one of those guys, then they're probably the MVP. Right now, I guess I'd give it to Lamar out of this quarterback. But I like the receivers better. It feels like they're more defining.
But a receiver's not going to win MVP, so why
waste
your vote?
Lamar, I think, is the sexy one now.
I don't think that's true.
When's the last time?
It's been, I think once only ever, right? Jerry Rice is the only. I mean, but things could change. You could have a season like, if you forwarded and just doubled everyone's stats and we doubled it up and Lamar really ended with like 18 touchdown passes, I don't know if he's going to win the MVP or Mahomes on like a pretty mediocre offense or Hurts might be the one that's kind of in.
I have a weird one. Like so we know Joe.
Are we
Earl.
Really, by the way, going to give the way that we just came out of this Deshaun Watson mess, the league's going to bestow the NFL MVP honors to Tyreek Hill? Like we're going to.
Yeah, it comes down to voters. But
I mean, at this point, when was the last time you heard anyone brought up Tyreek Hill's off field?
I guess that's
a child stuff. He literally is featured on Nickelodeon's promotion for their kids show. Tyreek Hill pops up and he's like, come, I'll slime you or whatever. It's like, that's not on anyone.
Who decides this, by the way, who gets completely absolved and who remains tracked?
In this case, it would just be the voters, technically.
Right, for MVP, I think, he's getting all pro votes every year, right? I mean, it's the same voters, it's the same people, but it's all TBD. But I would get rid of my Herbert pick because I think this Chargers offense is a sinking ship. I don't think he's going to suddenly like rebound.
Yeah. Is it the kind of thing where you need to be pristine from wire to wire? Or like I would say a special case would be like a Joe Burrow, right? We get it. Like the first part of the season was a disaster, health related. But if you get the last 2 weeks of Joe Burrow and it continues on, like he starts to stand out from other quarterbacks to me.
I think it's like the last 6 weeks of the season. Who is the hottest? And that's usually a quarterback, whoever is the hottest there. And I mean, Lamar has a great case because he's made such a jump as a passer right now, but also he's getting a lot of assistance from his defense too.
Right. Burrow is I can pull it up. Burrow's like the second or third most likely odds right now. And to your point, Dan, even right now, and because these are people predicting what's going to happen at the end of the season, that's what you're betting on essentially. Tyreek and AJ Brown are buried. They're still like sixth and seventh on this.
Yeah, it's just not how they do it, I guess.
Be the change, though. It hurts Lamar. Yeah.
I'm not giving Tyreek Hill my vote for MVP, so I will not be that change for that guy.
You're asking the Pro Football Writers of America, Greg, to be the change.
Also, no wide receiver ever has won MVP.
Okay, I should have.
Oh, Rice won. I thought Rice won it in like 88.
I'm doing a quick glance. 88 wasn't
was... Wasn't it a defensive player who won it?
88 was 1 year? Boomer Esiason.
No, yeah, I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
The Bengals team, yeah.
There was a year when Jerry Rice had like 20 touchdowns and was out of this world. If he didn't win it that year...
It's a stupid conversation, but there used to be two MVP awards where it was like the AP was not the officially recognized one, and then there was writers, and I think Rice.
What was
one
even
of
atypical
those years.
For him to win Super Bowl MVP? Like that, it's just always quarterback. So,
right. I swear the NFL hasn't like taken that award as their own. That feels like something that's going to happen. Yes, in 1987, Jerry Rice had 65 catches. Oh, that was the strike year. Holy God. In 12 games, because the first 4 weeks were Scabs playing. In 12 games, he had 22 touchdowns that year.
Oh, my God.
What? And then Moss broke his record in 16. That's crazy.
He won the Pro Football Writers in 1987, which back then actually like was as prestigious and was sort of, they were like competing awards.
My take with this particular exercise we're doing is I'm not moving off unless I really have to, like it's a lost cause. So I'll stick with Mahomes, and I would pivot to Burrow.
Yeah.
If I felt really strongly, I don't. Okay.
I think Lamar, if they can get a one seed here and he continues to play well, is gonna maybe be the guy.
All right. Ready. Offensive player of the year. Before the season, Mark, you took Jalen Hurts. Greg, you took...
I took Chris Olave.
Chris Olave.
I like that, though. That's creative.
Well, that was... I was describing it. I know how these things work. It was like to put another name on it.
I took Garrett Wilson. The favorite in the field in August was Christian McCaffrey. I should say Mahomes was the favorite amongst NFL.com writers in the field in August. This one looks like right now AJ Brown or Tyreek, but Christian McCaffrey has a real case as well, to win it. So those seem like the big three for me.
So that's I still think what happens so often is they still pick another quarterback. I think this is the year that would change.
Well, Jefferson won it last year, right?
Right.
They'll do that.
I think
like,
it'll be best receiver this year because
we've
seen a sea change too. Like receivers are getting quarterback money. I think people are starting to understand that a receiver as good as Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson and AJ Brown can make, like, they're elevating as good as Jalen Hurts is and Tua, like, they are elevating them in a way that you just couldn't without a receiver.
A single NFL.com expert picked AJ Brown.
No way. See, if I did the exercise, obviously.
You know, that
was
your opportunity.
Who did pick AJ Brown? In his fantasy league, 12th overall. That was me. Yeah, I believed in you, AJ. Okay.
Well, we're so happy for
very
you.
Very nice, Greg.
Massive bona fide street cred right there.
Defensive player of the year. Sestog took Sauce Gardner. Good job by you, buddy. Not going to happen. But let's see. Greg, you took...
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons, who was the favorite on our page. I took Myles Garrett.
I think Dan is going to win this.
Feeling good about that. I stand with Myles Garrett.
I would switch it if I could. I mean, obviously, it's not Sauce Gardner, but it's like, I think this is the, it seems like it's been elusive for Garrett, who's like always on the fringe of it. Mm-hmm. This may be, he's made difference-making plays week after week.
We should say it. I mean, Sauce probably is not going to win it, but it's not like he's injured or anything. He's playing on a very good defense, but he hasn't had a year as equal to year one so far.
Right.
The problem for Garrett, and I've seen this like, on Sunday, he won the Defensive Player of the Year award. The problem is, unlike MVP, there's incredible candidates. And it, again, it probably doesn't matter what you've done to this point, because Parsons is close enough, you know, and Max Crosby is close enough, and TJ Watt are close enough. They're all having monster seasons, that whoever has the best second half of the season, actually Parsons is barely behind in the odds in Vegas. Like, Garrett's the slight favorite, but Parsons is barely behind, and TJ Watt's not far behind, which doesn't surprise
Garrett
me.
Is like the bridesmaid for this award.
I think so,
like,
too.
Always,
I think
that'll every
help
year.
Him. I think it help. He feels different this year, though, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he does. That's a thing. For sure. But I want Max Crosby to get it, because he is like the main guy on that defense. And Myles Garrett has some good playmakers around him in Cleveland, but I feel like Max is a little bit more on an island with the Raiders.
Roquan Smith, I think, would get some votes, because you can vote for three guys. Best linebacker in the league and part of the best offense. And then Josh Allen's, just his numbers in Jacksonville have to be looked at. Dexter Lawrence, Aaron Donald. Those guys wouldn't get it this year, but in a normal year, I feel like they'd be on some lists.
All right, this one's crazy. Offensive rookie of the year. So everyone remembers the incredible amount of hype around Bijan Robinson. He got 26 of the, let's say, 26 of the 33 votes. Including Sestog, including Rosenthal. I picked Anthony Richardson. He had the second most votes, but only three votes. Bryce Young had three votes. Zay Flowers got a vote from Burgo. Get well soon, Burgo. And Jahmyr Gibbs got one vote. Nobody gave a single vote to CJ Stroud, who point, I'm not uncomfortable.
That goes back to my argument. Let's be real.
What?
It's the test.
That there was some sort of like perception that he might struggle in a way that we didn't expect.
Well, yeah, because no one thought the Texans' offense was going to be good. Like,
I'm just
the Texans would be good.
I'm with you on
You're right,
that.
Though. You're right. Thank no one's.
Yeah. Yes. It's everyone good. Thought
I don't
that
see anyone's name attached,
but I don't know if it was the S2.
What you doing, Steve Mariucci?
Yeah, so you had, CJ Stroud does not show up here. I think he did, barring some type of injury, clinch Offensive Player of the Year on Sunday with what he did.
Well, losing your guy, Anthony Richardson, like, cleared that field out quite a bit, and Bryce Young not looking ready for prime time at this point.
I think you're right. He's the heavy, heavy favorite, which is too bad for Puka Nacua. You put Puka in last year's class, he's got a great chance, I think, to win it over Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave. Like, he has a very reasonable chance, if Matthew Stafford is healthy, to have the greatest or one of the greatest rookie seasons statistically that any wide receiver's ever had.
The only thing is, he doesn't have the touchdowns. Like, he Put has a, the yards and the catches.
That's true. By the way, Bijan Robinson, whatever Arthur Smith's doing over there, I think he's averaging 2.9 yards per carry over the last month or so.
Yikes.
They've turned him into a sub 3 yards a carry runner.
Yeah, like, they're not helping.
Really?
Yeah.
He's at 5 for the season. That is sad.
All right. Let's see. Flaw, 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 flaw. Moving on. Defensive rookie of the year. Jalen Carter was the favorite. I picked Jalen Carter. Rosenthal picked Brian Branch.
He's got a chance. I think he's got a decent chance.
Mark picked Joey Porter Jr. because his dad played for the Steelers.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong.
I feel good about Jalen Carter. I'm going to stand on that one.
He is the favorite right now. He would be my choice as well. I think until the last week or two, he would have a pretty decent All-Pro case as like a first-team All-Pro defensive tackle. But Witherspoon's having a good year. Branch is still third or fourth in the odds right now because he's had a nice season. Will Anderson's having a solid rookie season, where if he picked it up, I think Carter's.
Has to be Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter.
At this point.
Yeah. At this point.
You guys are
moving off. I mean, he's a little banged
off.
Up right now.
No,
but
I'm sticking with Branch because that's looking like a fun little trendy pick.
I feel
that
safe moving off Joey Porter, a good player, but like, that he would need to do something insane down the stretch. That can happen. It's the
he's
earth.
Playing, he's now like starting. He didn't start the first 5 weeks.
That didn't help.
Now he's playing, yeah.
Comeback play of the year. I don't want to do that one. It's just strange. Coach of the year. Let's see. The favorite was Robert Saleh. How things have changed. I voted.
Not by that much. You'd be surprised. He's one of the favorites still.
Interesting. It's because he's very good with the media. He's photogenic. I have.
Dan's so down on Sal after this one loss.
He definitely does look the part. No, it's not one loss. I've been talking about him for a few weeks. I had Mike Tomlin with my pick.
Look at that.
And that's looking pretty decent right now.
Yeah.
Sestog had
this
Arthur
is why
Smith.
I was giggling before. I mean, you know what? It was all set up. It was kind of set up to be. He was a candidate that fits that whole thing, and then he suddenly.
Well, he's currently plus 6,600 to win it, which is a lot better chance 1, than Brian Daboll's and Belichick's plus 25,000.
25,000. Greg, you had Ron Rivera.
Nailed it.
That's not looking good. You know who is the favorite now? Was it my? Who would
wait?
Your
let me guess.
Choice be
D'Amico Ryans.
Mike McDaniel.
That's my favorite.
No, D'Amico makes sense.
D'Amico would be my pick.
Right.
And I think I was thinking KOC's maybe got a chance to sneak up on
him.
Uh-huh.
But no, the favorite, a decent sized favorite, is Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I was going to say. Mm.
You know what's going to help Mike McDaniel maybe is the in season Hard Knocks.
Mm.
These are human beings voting. Like, there's this,
humans.
The Dolphins win the division humans. And all that. Like, he's
has
done
John Harbaugh ever won Coach of the Year? Because I feel like if they're the number one seed. That feels like a year.
I remember when we talked about this
in 2019
in August that Mike Tomlin has never won Coach of the Year. So it's the old. That's when we were talking about the Scorsese getting the finally getting the statue for The Departed.
Yeah, this award's like absurd.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break and then we will have a conversation.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is important.
This is a very special honor.
Indeed. Dick Banks, the one-man house band with the iconic Team of ATL / ATN theme song.
Colleen. It just reminded me, by the way, real quick, of when we used to do Or Are You Kidding Me? Live in studio with someone that we brought up from the newsroom, I believe, with
he
a guitar.
Was,
who was that?
He wasn't from the newsroom. His name was Patrick Kangajew. And he was I put out on the company-wide messaging client, hey, does anybody know how to play guitar?
Yeah.
And this guy, Patrick, who worked on the second floor and maybe marketing or social media somewhere, he replies, like, I can play guitar. It's like, can you bring your guitar and an amp to the studio to play? Just lay down some tasty licks.
Electric guitar.
Yeah.
Electric guitar. And he brought a Strat, bro. And he just, find that. If people that like the archives of the show, when Kangaju was in studio, and I don't know where he is these days. It was Michael Kangaju, actually. I don't know where he is now, but thank you, buddy.
That was one of the most memorable shows. For some reason, it still stands out in my head.
He's got three or four of those appearances.
Yeah, I think he's live at Red Rocks on Thursday night. He's out touring.
All right. So, where are we? Okay, last year, team of Around the NFL, Detroit Lions, and it was a perfect pick, perfect synergy. It started, Connie, with you and I and Hard Knocks. And then
that's right.
A season that started slow but gained momentum, and we kind of all fell for that Lions team. And now it's like sending off a beautiful, like your child went away to college and you're just setting them free. And it's just like, go win a trophy, Lions. We love you. It's a new year. We need a new team. We don't need a new team. We'd like a new team. But you can't force the team around the NFL. And a week ago at this time, it felt like there was no chance a week ago. There's just nobody that had truly captured our imagination.
Nothing stood out like it typically does. Like, you kind of all get the similar feeling, or most of us do. And like a week ago, that was true.
We often did do it early in the season, but the original team of ATL, which was the Carolina Panthers, was actually probably around this time.
Keep pounding.
It was a slow build.
Yes. So with that said, Colleen.
Yes.
And we, because we view you as a member of the team.
Thank you.
We need a unanimous vote.
Okay.
And that's going to be four, like the old days with Chris Wessling. So the only way a team of ATN can exist, and if we want to push back the vote to Sunday and see how the games play out, I'm not against that. But let's talk about it first. And with that said, let's begin the nomination process. Eric. Like a phoenix rising from the ashes, the Houston Texans are a franchise reborn. The vision of new head coach D'Amico Ryans and wonderkind signal caller C.J. Stroud has changed the landscape of the AFC South Division and created questions that seemed unthinkable before the season. Are the Texans playoff bound? Will Stroud finish with the greatest statistical rookie season by a quarterback ever? Out of the darkness, light has broken through. The Texans have arrived. In the words of every 9-year-old boy on playgrounds across America, let's go!
Beautifully said.
The Texans.
It's the only candidate that really fits for me.
Tell us why.
It's this great story of a team that we came into the year saying, like, well, they're the opposite of weapons rich. Like I mentioned, we're wondering what the quarterback journey will be. It's a new coach. The general manager has been attached to a lot of nonsense. Suddenly no one's talking about him because everything's working out. They've been a team in the abyss in absentia for a long time now. And they had no personality. And it was like you keep firing your coach 2 years in a row after 1 year stints. And now suddenly everything quickly seems put together. And yet the reason I think that they fit for team of ATN is that the Lions a year ago were 2-6. Now they're 6-2. It's a bit of a flashpoint again, where you're like kind of projecting where this team could go. They're imperfect in certain ways. There's a lot of young talent, but they're 4-4. So we're not picking like an overt front runner. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that the most. I want them to be, maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't, but they're going to be fun. And there's a lot of future focus to them. So that's that. They would get my vote.
Well, what you're talking about gets to what are we looking for in the team of ATL? And maybe we're all looking for different things. Are we looking for a team that's going to win? Because, and we'll get to the next nominee. Like, I think that's not that important to me. I actually would be fine with a team of ATL that like won 7 games. If I just felt an emotional attachment that I want to see this team grow. I felt that with the Lions even last year when they were losing and had some hope that they would turn it around, and they didn't. And I think that worked out great. No, they didn't make the playoffs. The Texans are a fun watch. I don't know if I feel like a crazy emotional attachment to them, but I do like the idea of a team of ATL versus not, because why not? I like hearing that song. And I do find them very early on my Game Pass rankings of like, I like watching Dink Dell. I like watching Nico Collins. I like watching CJ Stroud. It's a passing league. Like that, that's what I like turning on. So I'm all for them.
In a lot of ways, the Detroit Lions last year were the platonic ideal of the team of ATN for me because of that. Like there were peaks and valleys, and they weren't bullies, but they always put up a fight, and they kind of peaked down the stretch. And even though they didn't make it, yeah, there was just like a lot of hope around the franchise. Like it was really exciting, and I think you could definitely make that case for the Texans. I think a couple of things, like lessons I'm learning from this Texan teams are kind of reminders. Like even if you don't have a great front office set up, even if you have dysfunction, it's crazy how much a quarterback can paper over things. And that's what CJ Stroud, nobody's talking about the bad around the Texans anymore because he's been so good. And then the other thing is, yeah, we spent a lot of time this summer talking about, yeah, well, who's this guy thrown to? Well, you don't know how good he's going to be. And then you don't know how, what he could bring out of these receivers like Collins and Tank Dell. So it's and Dalton Schultz, like you see what he's been able to do even without a running game. So the idea of getting on board with a young quarterback now being a number two overall pick, Connie, I like kind of sometimes the underdog slant of team of ATN. Does that bother you at all?
No, because for me, it's like the Texans essentially had to settle, quote unquote, for CJ Stroud because of what happened at the end of the season with them and not getting that number one overall pick. So it was like, okay, they're going to get like essentially the sloppy second who looks really, really good right now. So for me, the team should be easy to root for. It should have this like sort of a dusting of hope around them and a team that is typically downtrodden. Like I like that aspect of it. Maybe it's on the up and up. It's a team that people have historically kind of beat down a little bit, not believed in. And I feel like the Texans have this confidence about them now that is very attractive. And D'Amico Ryans is so likable
as
well.
He changes everything. He changes the front office because it's his organization.
Totally. And their rookies look good too. They're just kind of this fun team. And I wonder if they're in line to be the Lions / Jags team that has this renaissance, that has staying power.
He's their fifth coach, D'Amico Ryans, in the last 4 years. Because you remember in 2020, they fired Bill O'Brien after only four games. And then it was Romeo Crennel for 12 games. They were 11-38 in those three seasons. They did not win more than four games in any of those seasons. They're at 4-4 now. So they are an underdog story, even with number two pick.
Yeah. I think Watson's last full year there, if you look at his numbers, they were outstanding. And they went 4-12, I believe. It was like there was just so many things wrong with that team. And they were like the exception to the rule, where it was like, oh yeah, you could have a studly quarterback and still be terrible. But now things seem different. They have some balance, and yeah, coaching matters, obviously. Interesting. Okay.
I like that one.
Okay. Let's head to the next. Left to perish after an 0-3 start, the Minnesota Vikings have proven it's never wise to write off a proper Norseman. Winners of five of their last six contests, Kevin O'Connell's resilient gridiron warriors refuse to be put out to sea, despite the absence of the great Justin Jefferson and a season-ending injury suffered by their leader, Kirk the Benevolent. The sudden arrival of Joshua Dobbs, a fearless warrior appearing like a specter out from the mist, has made these irrepressible Vikings a dangerous foe. Thinking big about what's to come, that's what she said.
Okay.
Trying to place where that accent is coming from. It's just like a taste of Irish accent in there.
It's a little in and out. I think the other one was kind of going in and out of several different characters, too.
Maybe it's purposeful. Maybe it's like it doesn't want to be pinned down to one dialect.
This also kind of feels like it's like an Eminem song with like a beat is about to drop. And you're
bad Eminem. Yes. That's it. Bad Eminem.
The beat just never drops. You're just like, why won't you drop? I like this one. When it first popped in at least I thought about it for the first time. I don't know if you guys had before. It was last week, and it was partly like, oh, Josh Dobbs just feels like the player of ATL. So it's almost like it's just following the Josh Dobbs story, which has been, you know, strangely centered on this podcast all season. And now he's in Minnesota. So he's like the person of ATL, and he's just on the Vikings.
Yeah, I think like if you took Josh Dobbs and the whole bizarre NFL journey, really atypical, out of it, they wouldn't be on my radar on any level. So it's really, in this case, I know that's kind of true with CJ Stroud a little bit, but there's a lot more I like about the Texans. Like, my one thing with the Vikings is, like, if Dobbs were to go down or get, like, a five-week hamstring injury, like, I have no reason for this to be my team. Mm. Personally, I don't feel...
Couldn't you say the same thing about CJ Stroud?
Yes. I mean, it's yes, but it's to a different... The two ecosystems are different to me. And, I feel for Vikings fans. They've been through hell and high. I also, like got the Vikings nominated a number of years ago, and it went totally south.
Oh,
and so I think that I'm like, my thinking is a little soiled on like, this is a team where I'm like, no matter what's happening, it could go totally south, and we're going to have to just deal with the,
right,
I want to deal with
it's
the
It's a
Vikings.
Good reminder when we think about like, oh, the good old days with around the NFL. No, there was like entire seasons where our entire podcast mental state was rising and falling with Mark going insane about this.
Well, no,
Vikings.
I never heard the end of it.
We couldn't even talk about
it
because it drove him so crazy.
Ship. Everyone
was just like walking on eggshells.
We voted as a group, but then it was like Mark made a bad choice. It's like we all voted. So it's like we're all going to be compelled to vote.
It's amazing that this is part of the process that you're having right now.
Oh my God, would a listener please cut clip part of that season and send it to us?
I kind of remember.
Anything that you vote for in life, it's going to impact.
They were your nominee, and it. I think you pushed it through legislation, and then they lost five games in a row.
I think they were like five or six in a row, or it was one of those seasons. Then they went off a cliff.
So here's what's different about this team, Mark. Like, please, try to flush that. That's
I love Josh. I've
history.
Been on Josh Dobbs all season, as has Greg. So it's like, you don't have to sell me on that part.
I felt I was being sold on the Arizona Cardinals earlier this season, which I have no time for the Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
That whole organization is floating in the desert. My issue... was after the Kirk Cousins injury, I was like, oh God, this felt like a team that was putting it together and a conference that's wide open, you know, Justin Jefferson's coming back. What a shame. So when they make the move to get Dobbs and then what he did, the storyline of what happened on Sunday, it gets you kind of excited about, is there something kind of fun and special happening here? And when you kind of factor in also, yeah, the team and the history and the kind of the tortured history of the Vikings. This isn't going to be a team this year, Mark, where like they're expected to do things and then they fall on their face because that's what they do and they always crush their fan base. This is a team that was essentially left for dead, that gave up a seventh round pick or a sixth round pick to get Josh Dobbs on the team when he was already being benched by the Cardinals. And now all of a sudden he's leading a team that believes. I think there's just a lot of excitement around this team and this idea of what this season could be based on from where it started.
Just to be real, like I mean, everything you just said, I agree with. And I'm more of a swing voter in this. I think back in the days of when it was team of Westdale, it's like he would never allow anything he didn't fully 100% buy into. I'm like, I think even with the Lions last year, I was like, all right, guys, if you're so into it, like a parent wanting their children to have like, not that I'm your parent, but like, with their way, like, have a nice time. I mean, if this is what we want to do, I do it, but it's not the lead like horse in the race for me.
What we don't want is a bunch of hanging chads.
We don't want
this.
That.
We don't. No. We never
didn't
want
work out
that.
The last time.
But the Vikings, we're going to rewire the trauma that you experienced with the Vikings. We're going to make it into a positive experience if we do end up going with this team, because for me, they've kind of gone from just a team that's there, like a team that's kind of languishing. And yes, they were putting it together, but it seemed like they were never really going to fully put it together because it was like the fumbling issues and then Justin Jefferson got hurt and then obviously Kirk Cousins. And I think about Kevin O'Connell after that game that Kirk Cousins was hurt in and they had won that game, how his locker room speech kind of had a pall over it because he knew what this meant. And then for Josh Dobbs to come in and do what he did, imagine being Kevin O'Connell, because it feels like there's some renewed hope as well. And they have like a little bit of an extra boost. Like maybe they can be the team that they want it to be and want it to put together. And now that they're getting Justin Jefferson back and Brian Flores has turned around that defense from last year, I'm kind of all in on this team. I really like them.
You know what I liked about this team? When Kirk Cousins gets hurt, this is a locker room that's tight. That before the game on Sunday, many, I don't want to say everybody, but it could have been, were wearing Kirk Cousins t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, there's like definitely a vibe on this team that I like as well. Good energy. Right?
I am with you on that. And I was starting to like it even before Cousins got hurt. I really love Jordan Addison. I love how crazy Flores is. There was something from Ben Solak on Twitter yesterday where it showed like the amount of six man pressures. So it's like an all out blitz essentially. Uh-huh. It around the league, and the Vikings do it on literally 30% of their snaps. No one else in the NFL is even over 10. Like they are playing a completely different kamikaze style of defense that is also fun to watch, and I love the vibes. But it's kind of getting to what I was talking about before, which what are we looking for out of this team of ATL? Because I'm along for the rides. I think I'm a little more emotionally connected Vikings versus Texans, but I like them both. But I don't necessarily think I kind of think they might lose this week to the Saints. Like, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think they're going to be great. They're going to have their ups. They're going to have their downs. They're going to have a chance at that 7 seed. It'll be a fun ride. I don't think they're going to, like, fly off to the moon or anything. It's not a bet that they're going to be great. It's just that they're fun.
Like, aren't we? You're weighing against a number two pick at quarterback. That's the reason we're picking the Texans. That is fulfilling, like, the potential, the prophecy, and the promise versus one of the more unlikely quarterback stories that you're kind of, and I love it. Like, I love them. I love that about the NFL. It's just a game-changing sport because of that. But, like, you're more hoping that that story doesn't turn dark and probably more likely how it would be from a football angle, which is, like, he wins some games, but he's still Josh Dobbs.
They've got something going, though. I definitely think that the roster in general, you're right, it's too bad Kirk
Mark, we're
gonna
not
keep there
because they
would
trauma.
Have a high ceiling.
I do like
Bradford team, by the way. They started out like 5-0 with Sam Bradford, and I think we jumped on at like 5-0.
It's good to know that.
And what year was that?
They didn't make the playoffs.
Take a look at that.
It was 2015.
I can imagine Chris pushing back against the Sam Bradford team.
I think that was all part of it. I think
everyone voted for it.
I was doing some research trying to figure out what we've done. I think we did the Panthers twice. We did the 2015 Cardinals who made the conference championship. No, they
did
well.
But yes.
Yeah, that was the Bruce Arians. We did the Chargers one year. We actually circled back to the Panthers and then we skipped it a few years. We had the Matt Nagy Bears that were actually good that year. We did
whatever
that,
you could get team. On board a Matt
Nagy
team.
But no one cared that year. I remember like no one actually cared.
Let's see. Yes,
we did the McVay's first year with the Rams.
The 2016 Vikings did start out 5-0. Then they went into their bye, which is when I assume they were picked as the team around the NFL. Then loss, 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 win, loss, loss, win, loss, loss, win. 8-8 finish.
If I'm not mistaken, because I remember when I got really hot, it was like Halloween night, and I think they were on like Monday Night Football on Halloween night, if I'm not mistaken, and lost.
Yeah.
I'd have to go check. It was something happened to the Vikings on Halloween night that year where everyone's just like, terrible choice. Like, I didn't want anything to do with it.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It wasn't my vote. It's like, I'm walking around, like, trick-or-treating with my kids and, like, getting destroyed on text over, like, something that we unanimously voted for. So it was
Monday, October 30th.
Yeah.
No, oh, my God.
I'll never forget that memory. It's, like, the worst Halloween of my entire life.
We have to pull that show. I must hear it.
A 20-10 loss to the Bears.
Yes, that's what it was.
It wasn't really the shows. It was the text.
That was the worst.
It wasn't the
show of my life.
It was the text.
One of the worst.
It was the endless text that we were getting and making us worried for all of our safety and for Mark.
Well, they were coming in both directions. It wasn't me, and it was like being, you know. Well, it's a good thing I wasn't behind this. It's like, what are we doing here? We all voted for this team, so it's like I'm saying, like we're back in that same world.
One's gonna do that. No one's taking it.
I'm trying
that
to see if
I can hard anymore. I don't think.
I don't remember anything about the 2016 season.
Oh, I for some reason 2016 is like very clear for me. 2016 and 2018.
I mean,
I don't do odd years,
you
so
remember
I'm
that,
out this year.
Remember that 28-3 comeback, Danny?
Ooh, ouch! Hold on to the memories, Greg. That's all I can say.
Yeah, they were great. It was fun. Enjoyed it.
I hope you had the time of your life. All right. So do we want to vote now or what do we want to?
I think both teams are going to lose this week, unfortunately, because the Texans are playing the Bengals. So I don't know if you want to wait.
That's not what it's about. The Vikings are in a coin flip. I thought they would win last week against the Falcons because of what we were talking about. And I think they would have won with Jaren Hall. That's the thing. Jaren Hall looked pretty good in that drive. I was like, I think there's something going on with them that they're actually a good organization, a good team right now. That's all.
Okay. I mean, I'm ready to vote if you want to vote.
Yeah. I don't know what we're waiting for.
All in favor of naming
we can only choose one, huh?
The Minnesota Vikings team of around the NFL, say aye.
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 Oh.
Wait, so hold on. Can I ask a question? So
yes.
We're just like, maybe the Texans could get four ayes, but we're just like.
We could do the Texans.
They don't even come to vote,
though? We could do it.
I know. If we can see it that way, yeah. I would say aye to the Vikings in terms of.
Do you want to do, you want to do a silent ballot? Is that what you want?
Well, no, we just
really.
Gave it away.
I don't know. I'm all right with the Vikings. That. Like, I'm not against it. I just have some, you know, past issues with the concept. This is more likable.
That's part of the hero's journey, though, of the Vikings. Clearing
right.
your mind and
so
soul
I'm not
of 2016.
I also,
that horrific Halloween.
It's tough, too, because when they play the Lions, I still have been rooting for the Lions and enjoying the Lions. I wanted to just run it back at the beginning.
It's okay to root for the Lions.
Okay.
So they're kind of our babies. You know?
Yeah, I'm just saying, well, they're going to have two big games against the Vikings, I believe.
Tough sitch.
That's all I'm saying. Mm.
Well, you can go in and out, Greg. I would say I'm not going to block the Vikings. There's no reason I would. Like, they may not be my first choice.
Well, I think
okay.
It should be your first choice, right? Like,
no.
Tell us your first choice.
Go ahead.
I think I would go Texans first.
All right. All in favor of the Houston Texans as team of around the NFL, say aye.
I'll say aye as well.
Can we vote twice? How does this work?
Yeah. Are we allowed to vote twice?
Sure.
I'm deadlocked.
I would vote twice, but if I was ranking it, I would say yes to both just because it's fun. I like them. But I would vote Vikings first.
All right. Well, then, so Texans is not a great move here, like for the group. So, like,
there's no rules too.
I think that like we picked them both because we see reasons for both.
Sure.
Like if we're
nominated both.
Yeah, I can go both.
Preferring
ways.
Minnesota, like I can get on board with.
We
that.
Are on air right now.
Yeah. I'd say yes to the Vikings. If that's your swing.
What was your thing again? You could vote twice.
I say you could. I would support both candidacies. I would. Why is
we
that crazy?
Can we have two teams?
No,
you can't have two teams.
Well, we have a clear winner.
But it's two separate votes. We have the winner anyways.
Two people didn't.
If everyone had been on board with the Texans, I would have been like, great.
I only had one vote because that's the only thing that makes remotely any sense.
Then the result is clear. The result is crystal
right.
clear.
You either vote for one or the other.
Yeah. And I think it'll be good for you, Sessler. Like, let's go on this Vikings
journey
again.
I like the dynamic. I'm getting tugged on this. It's not going to be, I'm not in the crosshairs of whatever happens.
That was also, I know that there was some tugging with the Lions last year. We don't want you to feel that that's happening.
Oh, this is different than that. Like, again, the Josh Dobbs thing, like,
it was a different time in our lives,
season,
I think, was
so
maybe
was.
A factor in that whole
you're not driving
you know,
the car.
Thing.
You're just in the backseat.
We had different stresses coming from above.
Now I'm like, I get a bunch of Vikings texts. It's like, we'll talk tomorrow. Like, we're fine. So, you know.
Lions fans won't be happy. I know Packers fans. We got some tweets saying it would hurt, you know, going Lions-Vikings back-to-back while they're just in
I still love the Lions, though. This is nothing. This has
river.
Nothing to do with the Lions.
You know, the Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers team, just take a seat.
Do something.
All right. All right, let's get to good job. So we
got
a team around the NFL.
Celebration music.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
No, you know what we need? We need the Vikings horn thing.
The Yaller horn.
Yes. Yeah. Give me hit a Yaller.
Ooh.
What is it called?
Yaller horn.
Yaller horn. Hit it.
Wait, does this mean we have to do like the skull thing? I don't know.
Skull.
Like,
a Yaller horn? Is that something I should know
Yaller
I should
horn.
Have? A Yaller horn?
Yaller horn.
I know what you mean.
It's a horn.
I only know that because I've had to say it multiple times on the air, and it's spelled
very
strangely.
Oh, it's spelled with a GJ? What the hell?
All right, so
Viking syntax.
If you could hit us up with a Yaller horn, that would be excellent, Eric. right? Like, put him on the nose here. Put him on the spot. Yaller horn.
Why would he just have it sitting there?
You never know when someone might have a Yaller horn.
Yeah.
We're skullheads.
I like this.
Yeah.
I still say Foles.
Mark especially.
Best stadium?
Yeah.
Best in-game presentation.
And we're putting all those demons to bed, Halloween 16. Goodbye.
I like Viking culture, the concept of it.
The pillaging and the other stuff?
No, just like the, you know, we know who we are. We're not effing around.
The resourceful?
Yeah. Maybe they were in America. Not sure.
Is that the Yaller? Oh, hell yeah. Oh, shoot. We got Randy behind the glass. Big Funk is the Packers fan. Dude, it ain't personal.
He's not
I'm sorry.
Happy.
He's in a Big Funk.
So we're getting double thumbs down from Randy.
All right. This is exciting. Let's move. Let's hit the previews before we say goodbye. Wow. All right. So the Vikings did it. What a wild season. Can't predict the NFL. See, there is the biggest surprise. Vikings like, out of nowhere.
I forgot about that.
Team around the
NFL.
You
asked that question. Josh Dobbs.
All right. Let's. The primetime games this week are pretty rough. Let's start with the Carolina Panthers on Thursday night, traveling to Chicago to face the Bears. So, I don't know. Was this something that could be flexed?
No. Not at that point.
It's a 1-7 Panthers team with Bryce Young coming off another rough outing in which he threw two pick sixes, lost the fumble, facing the Chicago Bears. And no, we don't get Justin Fields either, it looks like, because he is not quite ready to return after suffering that thumb injury a couple weeks back. So you will get at least one more start of Tyson Bagent. Colleen, you are the anchor of NFL Network's Thursday Night Football coverage. Your thoughts on this one?
Well, I'm just like so...
Sell it, baby.
I feel so honored that I am doing our Thursday night coverage this week with Panthers-Bears. I'm doing the Germany game with Colts-Pats and the Monday night game with Mooch, which is Broncos-Bills. So
that's
it's
a good
really...
One.
Those
that's
are my
fine.
Three shows this fine. Week, and I could not be happier.
What is the alarm clock set for, to be the Germany for the Germany game?
My call time is 2 a.m., and
like wake up or you have to show
no,
up.
No, I'm in this building right, at 2 a.m. and it's like a 45-minute drive.
Yeah,
and I do my
door.
Hair and makeup before I come in. Mm.
So do you
there's coming
sleeping?
In around 7:30 p.m. then?
I think last week I went to sleep around 7, but I wanted to be asleep at 5. And then last week I had some work to do on the show to finish up. So I woke up at 11:30 at night.
Holy God.
Yeah. And John was still up like from that day. So that was weird. Yeah, the TNF game, let's start there. Bryce Young and Tyson Bagent combined for 7 turnovers last week. We were having some issues trying to figure out just graphically in the studio who the third star of the game was going to be on our mural in studio. So we went with a head coaching situation.
How about DJ Moore? You know, a little DJ Moore.
DJ Moore's already on there.
Oh,
need another one.
Then it gets darker.
And Brian Burns is not playing. It's just, it's not great, but I do like the fact that the Bears, if I had to find one silver lining.
Just put Smith there.
I know, exactly.
Montez Sweat.
Yeah, you have like a couple revenge game angles here with DJ Moore playing the Panthers and obviously Bryce Young playing the Bears. I don't know how much revenge that they will get, but that is something that you can talk about. And, but I do think that the Bears running game could get going here because the Panthers have been so tragically bad against the run. So Deonta Foreman like has a nice opportunity here, but it's tough. This is going to be rough. I'm not going
to
lie.
I mean, I'd like to see a bounce back game from Bryce Young. He is the biggest story in this game because he is the number one overall pick. And the Bears have been playing in theory better on defense, but then it sort of fell apart. You know, their offense actually has been sneaky competent this entire season. Without people noticing, except for the turnovers. And that's Bagent. Like, Bagent is okay. I think Bagent's going to be a backup in the league for a while. They're 13th in the NFL, and so these are a lot of field starts, too, in points and yards per drive. 13th. That's like literally better than average, which is kind of shocking. They moved the ball, but then, you know, Fields was doing it. The whole team was fumbling. Bagent, like, makes mistakes. It's all bad. The most interesting thing about this game are the picks. And the team building, which is hard to talk about. Like, how does this trade look all these months later? I think the Bears have to be, you know, very happy about it, obviously, that it's tough to just pick a player and say he's going to be so much better that he's worth these two first-round draft picks. It's a bad process, and now it's coming back to haunt him. But I don't know necessarily, I've heard some whispers, that Ryan Poles, the GM, is necessarily going to make those picks. So, like, there is a chance this whole thing gets blown up anyways, and that even though you made that trade, which looks good, that they won't be patient.
I mean, it is a chance to literally take away a win from the team that chooses the destiny of that number one pick for Chicago next offseason. That matters.
It does.
I don't like it for Carolina, to be honest. Any road team on Thursday night, I think I'm just going to lean on like two even teams to some degree with the home situation. Brian Burns, you mentioned, is out. CJ Henderson, not been having a great year, but that you're losing him too. DJ Chark is doubtful. Laviska Shenault is unlikely. It's like you don't have much on that offense beyond Adam Thielen to begin with. So, and they are the number four run defense, and they have not allowed a 100-yard rusher, the Bears, going back to week 3. And I think they've been up and down on defense, but you add sweat to that situation. I think it's kind of like if you can shut down what is not a good ground game to begin with, one of the bottom five Panthers ground game, they're uneven on offense. You put Bryce Young into a tough situation on the road, and I think that the Bears defense has been improved. In fact, the whole Bears—
You going to do it?
No, I'm not going to because I don't— that feels extra. But I think Tyson Bagent, to your point, Greg, like, yes, I saw the turnovers, but when you go watch like every throw he made, it's like, this guy can move the offense. There's something about him that's like projects out as like he's going to be around for a while. And it's like, I don't know. I guess you put Justin Fields back in there when he's healthy. Why not? You want to like maybe promote him as a potential trade candidate. But Justin Fields is not their future, I don't think.
I think it's interesting.
I'm not saying that Bagent is either, but I'd say like Bagent could stick around as a backup longer than Fields as a starter potentially.
Yeah, and Luke Getsy, their offensive coordinator, I think did a nice job putting him in okay situations because he turned the ball over four times and they only lost by one score. Like it should have been a blowout.
Yeah, Justin Fields has to get back on the field and show something here, obviously, in the last few weeks. The uncertainty around the organization, that's going to play a part in this. And, yeah, it's kind of cool that, the Bears can win this game and also improve their draft standing because they own the Panthers pick. That's a cool thing. And I also think about, the Panthers are thinking about, should we have taken Stroud? Well, it was the Bears who had the number one pick, and they could have potentially taken Stroud as well. I wonder if they've had any restless nights thinking they were in the catbird seat.
Same team who chose Mitchell Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Different regime, but absolutely.
This
happens to bad teams.
The Bears fans, it's all one continuum.
All right, let's move next to Sunday Night Football. And the Sunday Night Football matchup.
Come on, bro. Your team.
I know. The New York Jets traveling to Vegas to face the Raiders. The Raiders coming off, obviously, a blowout of the Giants with Antonio Pierce as the head coach. So, we're not going to mistake the Raiders now as some type of fierce unit, but we'll see if they can continue the Bisaccia bump here another week. And the Jets are coming off, obviously, a hideous Monday night performance in which Zach Wilson and the offense completely floundered. Let me throw you to some sound that happened. So Robert Saleh was on the Michael Kay Show on ESPN Radio yesterday, Tuesday. Let's listen in.
But things have changed over 3 years, Robert. You've had different offensive coordinators before the change to Hackett this year, and you've had different weapons around him. And the one constant is Zach, and the one constant is last year he couldn't start over Mike White. So first of all, this shouldn't be litigated. Now, I never understood with a 39-year-old quarterback why a guy who couldn't start last year was the first line of defense if he went down. You've got Trevor Siemian in your building. Why not give him a try?
No, I got you. No, it's, again, a fair question. And, it's, like I said, he, I don't know. You got me. I'm going to plead the fifth on all this one.
I mean, that's a tough look for Saleh. And it makes you wonder if he has any decision-making when it comes to his own quarterback, which is a very bad look. The one thing I'll say, Greg,
listened to that whole thing, though, and that was the second time he asked the question. And the first time he answered the question. And then the second time he was like, what more am I going to say? So I just think that...
What did he say?
He just said it was not just all the same stuff. It's not all Zach. It's offensive line. We're looking at things. It's coaching. Like, we need to do a better job. He needs to do a better job.
But
he went through the whole rigmarole. And then the second time he was just kind of like, I played the fifth.
That's fair. I think any interview deserves that. Listen, I like that. But does he strike you as kind of like empowered or a little bit flummoxed and stuck in a corner?
I think his hands are tied, and I think that he can't move away from Zach Wilson. And I think that either Joe Douglas or Woody Johnson is forcing him to play Zach Wilson.
Well, I think I don't necessarily think that's the case, only because they did bench Wilson last year. I wonder if he's saying that and he feels boxed in because they did such a bad job with the setup, and that Trevor Siemian is the backup. And it's like, Trevor Siemian? Mm-hmm. It's the last time that guy did anything in the league, and they're seeing him every day in practice.
Right.
And he might think, man, everybody's telling me to put in Trevor Siemian. That guy's worse than the starter. Mm. And that goes back to the team's failure to bring in a true competent backup behind Rodgers and then once again behind Wilson. So I feel badly for Saleh when I listen to that because I understand that it's a very stressful gig and he's definitely in a very tough spot. At the same time, I can't believe this is where the season is now. We'll see. I have a very bad feeling about this game, Colleen. I think, if as a Jets fan, I think the Raiders with their pass rush, with Max Crosby playing at home, still, you know, feeling a lot better with McDaniels out the door, I would not be surprised if they get after Wilson and cause a lot of trouble and turnovers, and the Raiders keep rolling.
Yeah, that kind of feels like the vibe going into the game, especially with Antonio Pierce, who the Raiders, if they can continue winning this way, like, they could have been a candidate for team of
ATL.
Whoa,
that would have been wild.
Like, that.
I so agree with you.
Because they have that same type of vibe, and Antonio...
5-5 if they win, by the way, which is crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think the thing that I worry about with the game is the Jets front four, I think, have a nice opportunity going up against Aiden O'Connell. Like, they were in Justin Herbert's face nonstop in that game. They sacked him 5 times. Bryce Huff was awesome. But, like, O'Connell has been pretty good at decision-making and not making mistakes. So I wonder if that changes with the Jets in his face all night.
I think that the Raiders are this, like, interesting study in, like, the human aspect of all this that we can't measure. There's no way to measure this. And, like, in the course of a week, and I think, you know, I was down on the Josh McDaniels experiment going back a year ago. We all were. It was overt. It was a visually a negative feast. But in the course of a week, like, I think this matters. I think it matters because Antonio Pierce comes in, and it's like, I know it was the Giants, but the Giants' defense was productive the last couple of weeks. It wasn't like they were a total disaster. You got a better game from Aiden O'Connell. Antonio Pierce went on the record saying he spent the entire week with the offensive line, which is a group that they didn't really add pieces to and was hot and cold and mostly cold. Better. Josh Jacobs looked like the old Josh Jacobs. And then I'm sorry, this matters to me, that after the game, and we all saw the visuals, you've got Raider, like the old school Raiders vibe of them smoking cigars, celebrating with each other. They brought the practice squad to the game. It's like somehow this feels like a team again. And they escaped a disaster situation with the record they have. And I kind of think, like, you know, a couple weeks I said the Jets are this magical team. Now they're in a rough place. It's like, I'm not saying
happened was just one game.
I know, but I'm not saying the Raiders are that, but, like, the feeling
around... You're transferring
around,
the positive juju from the
I'm just
Jets to the Raiders?
The feeling around the Raiders went from, like, total darkness to who knows what these players can do. You have good players on this team. Well, I wonder what the result... if that carries over beyond 1 week, we'll see. That's the study.
I mean, these two teams are very much in the soft middle of the NFL. They're both a little lucky to have the records that they have. I think the Jets are. I think the Raiders are. But I'm probably going to pick the Jets in this game. The fired coach principle, maybe that lasts more than 1 week. Maybe it doesn't. I liked the Raiders last week and getting that bump, but the Jets defense is still by far the best thing in this game. Like, by far. If they had applied that pressure to most any other quarterback other than Justin Herbert the other night, like, they might have won that game. Like, Huff, Franklin Myers, Jermaine, like, they're getting everything that they want. Aiden O'Connell's time to throw last week was crazy. It was 2.13. It was like, he's just getting the ball out. So that was promising. They have a new offensive coordinator by the name of Bo Hardigree. I just wanted to say that name.
Yeah, get the Bo's
I was
back
not
in.
Familiar with Bo Hardigree's
Bo
work.
Spelled like Jackson or Bo like Bridges?
Jackson. I believe.
That's good.
And the Jets can't run the ball.
Either would have been fine with that.
Like, the Raiders defense, they're playing hard. The Jets can't run the ball. Like they're among the worst teams in the NFL in terms of success rate running. So, like, that's not helping Zach Wilson either. But their defense is better than anything that the Raiders got going. And I'm hoping they win, not only because I'm going to pick them, but because it's a Sunday night game. So it's like, I want to end this recap show on a high. We've had some high Jets moments, some low Jets moments. Like, it's another one where they're just, like, right back in the spotlight.
Yeah, you mentioned the defense. The only way the Jets can win right now is if the defense creates turnovers that set up short fields. They have something like 5 touchdowns in the last 6 weeks, and 3 of them were 1 yard or 1 play drives.
Oh, wow.
Off turnovers and things of that nature. So it's
maybe
pathetic.
I'll pick, but
what's happened with the offense is as bad as it's ever been. All right, Monday Night Football. Denver Broncos traveling to Orchard Park to face the Bills. Bills laying 7.5 points of wood. I want to say, Mark, that the Bills are set up well here. Get a W and get back on track again. But I've reached the point where with Buffalo where I just don't know what to expect week to week. And Denver has certainly been better since their very ugly start and when they bottomed out against Miami. So it would not stun me if this game is actually competitive.
I'm with you. I think the Broncos have transformed a little bit. I need to see more to be super convinced of that. But losing Knox at tight end, I think has changed this offense a little bit. Where yes, we're seeing an uptick in like Dalton Kincaid's production, but like if you look at what they're doing, they're kind of running like a ton of like two wide receiver sets nonstop at like a high rate. And I think that this is a Bills team that is like kind of like last week. It's like why in the past what I loved about the Bills in general, and I'm not saying it as well as I want to, is like, let Josh Allen just go do what he wants. And he's going to make mistakes, but you're also going to get like these high ceiling, high versions and moments and drives where it's like he's going to do something that no one else in the league can do in his own way. And I feel it's all just like the reins have been pulled back a little bit right now. And it's like they, you know, they're not like the go out and do it against all odds kind of offense. They've been pulled back a little bit, I think, with what they're doing schematically. I think they're a little safer. They're maybe trying to make Josh Allen a little bit of a safer player, which is like exactly what I'm just saying I see that. That's my feeling around them. I wouldn't do that with Josh Allen. And, like, the running game is not helping them out. I don't know. Like, to me, I'm with you, Dan. Like, they're a mystery team to me. And, like, their floor concerns me. Like, I kind of think that it was Nick Wessling who said it weeks ago before most people were that, like, I don't know if they make the playoffs. They don't look like they. I know, like, you can go look at their EPA and their metrics, and they're still sitting at, like, 1-2 and everything. It's like, that's not what my eyes are telling me right now. I know they had that month of dominance, but it's like, I see a team that is like an iffy bet right now, a total iffy bet.
I hate that the head coach, Sean McDermott, has just been doing, he does these little passive aggressive grumblings about the offense. And he did it back in the past.
No.
It's just little things. Like, we got to look into that. Like, we got to, and for the first time, maybe The Athletic wrote about this. Josh Allen was asked about, like, why wasn't Gabe Davis involved? And they had done such a nice job playing fast with a hurry up against Tampa. How come that they didn't do that against Cincinnati? And he sort of gave the, like, well, you got to ask the coaches, that sort of thing, which Ken Dorsey was his guy. So there's this grumbling. And I'm just thinking, like, McDermott, when was the last time your defense, and I know there's been injuries, had a freaking turnover or a big play? And some of that's luck, but they've had like one turnover in 5 weeks. And Von Miller's kind of killing them.
But the injuries too, like that.
Sure, but
they had no depth.
They had this whole thing of like Von Miller's going to come back, and that's going to juice our pass rush. Von Miller right now is 112th out of 123 PFF qualifiers. He has one QB hit in 103 snaps since he's returned in 4 pressures. So you're getting not just like not Von Miller, but you're getting hugely negative play by Von Miller, and the defense is just kind of there. I think this is a dangerous game. The Broncos have been a little better in general, I think, than people realize on offense. They're a pretty good running team. They don't turn the ball over. They're like a solid enough offensive team.
And they're coming off a bye, too.
2 weeks to prepare for this game, yeah.
2 straight wins with the Packers and then the huge game for them against the Chiefs. But the Bills' offense is the thing that I just can't figure out. They have no rhythm. And they finally started fast because it was the slow starts that were really getting to them. They weren't scoring in the first quarter, especially not on the first drive. They did that. And then it was like, then they kind of, everything, the wheels fell off again. And it was like they were MIA. So it's that. And then Josh Allen, I thought the last Thursday night that they played, so I guess that was 2 weeks ago.
They're living in primetime right now.
Moments. Exactly. There were moments in that game where Josh Allen looked like the old vintage Josh Allen that Sessler was talking about, where he was kind of just like freelancing and running around and making these plays that we were used to seeing before. But we just haven't seen that because of whatever constraints they're under. There's just no rhythm. And the only thing that I really like about this game is that it's a Sean showcase.
Ooh.
Which we get, a lot of Sean head coaches.
Yeah.
McVay.
It is, you know, it's a big spot for Peyton.
Sean showcase.
two weeks to go beat McDermott. Show us something, Sean.
There's a lot of bad blood. Because there could only be one.
It's a name that's largely vanished from the landscape, you know, among younger people. There aren't a lot of
true
young Seans out there. So
they're like, there's
the last
these
vestige.
Two old dinosaurs, these old T-Rexes, just fighting it out on the Great Plains. Only one could remain.
Just like that.
I mean, we've got Sean Kelly behind, you know, the glass and
whatnot. That is true.
He's a young man, youngish.
Yep. But he's the last of them, and he knows that.
How old is Big Sean?
Big Sean, he's probably in his late 30s at this point. You had a former WWF champion, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, but how old is he?
He was a S-H-A-W-N. So,
oh,
a whole different breed.
Yikes.
Different breed. All right. There you go. Primetime football. And Colleen, you've said it all.
I have. I have no more words to give anyone.
Does anyone else have more words to give?
Oh, you know what? I do want to say shout out to the listener, the ATN listener, who sent me a message on, it was either Twitter or Instagram, and it was during our show that started last week at 4 a.m. West Coast time.
Right.
And they just said, hey, loosen up. We like the Connie on ATN. And I was like, that's great. That's good. Different, but it was a good reminder. Different show.
Different assignments.
Difficult to be this loose on that show, but... You know what? I'm going to try, listener.
It's a compliment.
I like the Colleen on ATN, too. I like the Colleen on NFL Network.
I don't. But. I don't like that Colleen. I like Connie better. I like to live in a Connie land. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's it's a tell on the, you know, the product, the channel that you're operating through. It's a different channel.
Keep Connie in the tiny box. That's that's the push that we go for. And congratulations to the Minnesota Vikings, the team. Of around the NFL.
What could go wrong?
Mark, how you feel?
I feel great because I didn't tug everyone into this one. It's not, you know, it's like I was in the back seat on the right side looking out the window and the highway going by.
But on some level, if it did go wrong, your original choice of the Vikings, I feel like, set a bad juju on the whole enterprise.
I think
that
been unsaid, and that's absolutely true.
You'll find a way to spin it, but this time my apathy is towering, so we're fine. So.
All right. That's it. Till Thursday, where we have our full preview of Week 10 and also our latest NFL Plus trip to the Dreamatorium. Free preview this week. What are you waiting for? Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.